And we finally got to the thing I've been hearing about, a swinging bridge. This bridge was engineered by American engineers and built between the across a river, I can't remember the name of the river, and it was way, way down. It was like 1,000 foot from this bridge to the water. And the river looked very small. The American engineers stretched cables across from one mountaintop to another and built that swinging bridge for the trucks to go across from one mountaintop to another.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing swung from, and it had guy cables to keep it, you know, like handrails,
mm-hmm.
guy cables. I don't know what that would be worth, but. And the bridge itself was made out of like railroad ties with these big cables. It was fastened to these big cables like railroad ties, and the truck went over like one truck was allowed on the bridge at a time, and everybody else would sit and watch. You keep pulling up and your time's coming, okay?
My hands are disordered.
You'd be a little bit nervous. But this is where they have a big story, and there's a whole book on it. The Japanese was going in to invade India at one time. They was going to Burma, and they was going to take over Burma, India. They was going on into India. And they got to this bridge. They got to this bridge, and the bridge was out for some reason. They couldn't cross that. And I guess they bombed the bridge out. Americans build it back, okay? The Japanese got up in there and got trapped in that little bitty outfit called Flying Tigers, killed a whole division of Japanese.
Mm.
And those trucks scattered all over that mountain. And they were still there when I came. Those Japanese trucks were all over that mountain where they had wrecked over the side of the mountain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were just wrecked trucks everywhere you look.
Mm-hmm.
The Flying Tigers had went in there, just a small group of American planes, and done away with a whole division of Japanese troops. They weren't big enough to do that, but the Japanese troops was trapped. They couldn't go. You can't go back. You can only go so far. That road was a one-way road. They was trying to go the other way. We was going to, when I drove the road, it was a one-way road. We never met anybody, ever. You didn't worry about meeting somebody around the curve. Some of those curves on the road were so steep that we had to back up, pull up, back up, pull up to turn. The truck wouldn't turn that short.
Hmm.
That was in the, and we, at one point, this is hard to believe, but at one point, we was on top of the mountain and looked down on planes.
Down on planes?
Looked down on planes. Because the planes was flying in between the mountains. And this one mountain we had to cross, that the road went over the top. And they said it was 10,000 foot. That mountain was 10,000 foot. That was the highest point that we took, that the road went. And it was 27 miles that we went that day. We had to camp on top of the mountain. It took a day to go up and a day to come down the other side for that one peak. And about near the end of that trip, my truck quit running. And that's the point where I was afraid of bandits. They had some Chinese bandits in the hills that they talked about. I don't know. You know, I never seen any, but they said that there were bandits in the hills. If your truck broke down, you was in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a wrecker and a mechanic truck at the very end of the convoy, and he was the last one to come through. but there was a truck broke down they went to work on. So they fixed up my truck and got it going again and stayed with me. The last day it was just me and the mechanic truck and the wrecker. Everybody else was gone.
Somebody had better off left you.
Yeah. Then we went into Khon Min. When I got to Khon Min, this was a supply depot. You've had that figured out, didn't you? All the supplies was piled up there. And then the hospital, and it was getting near the end of the war. Because this was July, August. Yeah. The war ended in May in 1945 in Europe. VE Day, yeah. VE Day was in May 8th, 1945. I'm asking you. I think it was in May 1945.
Mm.
And then VJ Day was what we were looking for, right? And it was in September, I believe it was in September 1945. So I was assigned to the hospital, and we didn't have a whole lot to do. When I got there, they was operating already, and they didn't seem to know what they wanted me to do. So they put me to operate the telephone, the night operator. So you say, number, please, and you pick up the thing and plug it in. This was the only kind of telephone we had, was the voice kind. You get the operator and say, give me number 4, please. And she'll pick up your card and plug it in number 4. That's what I was doing. And that was a full-time job. That was just part-time. They switched me from one thing to another, you know, as long as I was in that. And that wasn't long. It wasn't long till the war was over. And when the war was over, they started sending prisoners, American prisoners from the Jap concentration camps in China to our hospital. This is where I seen some sights. We went to the airport and picked up Americans that had been held as prisoners for a long, long period of time. And some of them was almost dead, some of them skin and bones. And we took them straight to the mess hall. First stop was the mess hall. When we got to the hospital, of course, the ones that was able, the ones that weren't able, they went straight to the to be entered into the hospital, you know, emergency room.
Yeah.
But the ones that was able went straight to the mess hall, getting food first. And that it wasn't long after that till Chinese troops started coming down out of the mountain Himalayas that was up there fighting the Japs.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese troops at that time was both nationalists and communist Chinese. You wouldn't believe this, but they was all fighting for the same cause.
Mm-hmm.
But when the war was over with Japan, then they went to fight among themselves. They started that war right there. I seen it start because we had a victory sign that at the airport. They had the lights shaped in a victory sign that you could look way off the distance. It was a big V. They started throwing artillery through it, the Chinese, at each other. One of our people got killed from a spray bullet from their war. And so at that point, American government says, okay, what we do, we're leaving here now. We got notified, and 30 minutes later, we was packing up. First, we had to get the patients out of the hospital and get them on planes. And we already had made arrangements to where they were going. They were going to Shanghai to a 172nd General Hospital was going to set up in Shanghai, China. And Shanghai was one of the biggest cities in the world at that time. I think they said Shanghai was like the fifth largest city in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And We all got on planes and left there, and left all that war material that we'd been hauling, stacked up by tons and tons and tons of it, trucks and everything was left there. All the planes that was able to go carried troops and patients. And we cleaned the house, got out of there, and let them have it.
I would say.
Then we set up the hospital in Shanghai, China. When we arrived in Shanghai, the Japanese had the hotel where we was going to stay, and they was moving out while we was moving in. We set them up in the, we took the Japanese officers and families, and they had their families in Shanghai. They had held Shanghai for a long time. And we put them in what they call a staging area.
Mm-hmm.
The staging area had, it was tent village, really. Americans pitched the tents for them and fixed the place for them to stay until the Japanese ships could come from China, from Japan, and pick them up. And they all moved out of that hotel. We moved in. The enlisted men moved in the hotel where the Jap officers were staying. American enlisted men. I was one of them. And the officers lived in Broadway Mansions, the big one, the big hotel downtown. The American officers lived in. We got the hospital operating in a big way, and we had a lot of patients that was war wounded, and we had quite a few Chinese patients, celebrities and whatever, you know. The Chinese was our allied at the time until the nicest Chinese started moving in, and then they started this protest and stuff, and you hear this stuff all the time, and you're going to hear it over and over, and the colleges will appreciate this. 20,000 Chinese college students ganged in on us and started hollering, "GIs, get out of China." Okay, so this is great. You go and offend them and run the Japs out and make them free, okay? Then what do? They tell you, get your butt out.
Yeah.
You start hollering, "Get out." All right? This is gratitude for you, right?
Mm-hmm. What was it like when you came back here?
I was glad to be home.
How was the reception from everybody there? Was it,
Oh, it was just great. I mean, they didn't have any parades or anything because they had me, they knew I was coming home, but I had it all figured, you know, that it was just, it was so good to be home. That's all. That there was so much of it. I was a little late getting home after the war was over. See, people had gotten over the big deal about the war being over, because I was 6 months late getting home.
Yeah.
I got home in July 4th, 1946 is when I arrived here.
Mm-hmm.
And again we came by ship. We boarded the ship in Shanghai and came by the way of Hiroshima. But we didn't dock in Hiroshima, but I seen the volcano from the ship. You know, where they raised the flag,
mm-hmm.
The famous story about the Hiroshima. I could see the volcano from the distance. And they said, "That's Hiroshima." And I said, "Well, okay." The ship didn't come near enough to even, you know, see anything but the volcano.
Mm-hmm.
Then we came close to Hawaii, not too far away from Hawaii, but not in seeing distance, and came into San Francisco. Got off the ship in San Francisco onto a riverboat type thing with the big wheel in the rear.
Mm-hmm. What did you do when you first got back here? I know you own your own business.
I eat ice cream.
You eat ice cream? What flavor?
Oh, God. I remember that there was a place to buy ice cream, and the ship docked, and the first thing we did is get ice cream. And that was in across the bay.